Hey, Valerie June.
Hey.
Hey, this is Dom Flemons, the American Songster, calling you. I got a new podcast I'm doing. Would you like to be a part of it?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, well, let's head on down the road.
Cool.
Hello, folks. From North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, this is American Songster Radio. I'm Dom Flemons. For this episode, my guest is Valerie June. She's made a name for herself as a singer, a songwriter, and an incredible live performer. We'll talk about the connections between the church singing she grew up with and the broader world of Southern vernacular music.
It was pretty awesome. From, like, a family of five kids, and you think the singing stops when the church doors closed, then you're probably a little bit crazy because it went on. So we just sang all the time growing up.
Also, a song. I'll play my version of a song by Sister Rosetta Tharpe, an artist whose records Valerie and I both look to for inspiration.
We have heard church people say they are in this holy way, 'cause there's strange things happening every day.
I'm Dom Flemons, and this is American Songster Radio. Well, I guess first thing I want to ask you about, Valerie, is, how did you first get started into doing music? That's something that I guess you hear that a lot in a lot of interviews, but I was wondering, how did you get started with it? Was this something that that you grew up with, or was in your family, or anything like that, or was it something you just picked up on your own independently?
I got started in music through singing. So I went to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, and it was Church of Christ. And in Church of Christ, everyone sits together and everyone sings together. And kind of according to the law of God, you must sing. You must use your voice as an instrument. If you don't use your voice as an instrument, then we don't want to know what's going to happen. But there wasn't a choir or anything. There was just like you open the songbook and everybody sang at the top of their lungs and as freely as they felt like it. And there were no rules, really. Just, you know, some people could technically sing and other people could not technically sing. And so I grew up around 500 people like that three times a week.
Oh, wonderful. Now, where was that you were going to church? Where are you from originally?
I am from Jackson, Tennessee, and I went first from birth until about 12 to East Jackson Church of Christ. And then from there, my parents moved to the other side of town, and we went to the North Jackson Church of Christ. So those are my teachers.
Oh, okay. Well, excellent. So now going from that church experience to now hitting the big stages and everything like that, including a sold-out concert at Carnegie Hall, where was the transition going from one thing to the other? So that's because it's one thing to sing in church casually with family and then also other members of the congregation, but how did you get to where you were performing on stage?
Well, after when I turned 18, I moved to Memphis, Tennessee. I left Jackson, and Jackson is about an hour and 30 minutes from Memphis. So I wasn't too far away from home, but to me, I was in the big city. I had a choice whether I wanted to move to Nashville or whether I wanted to move to Memphis. So I moved to Memphis. And when I was there, I married a fellow who played guitar. And he'd be in one room playing guitar, and I'd be in the other room, like, washing dishes or watching something on TV, but I'd hear him playing and I'd hear like the melody of a voice on top of his instrumental stuff. So over the course of our relationship, I tried to ease my way into the room where he would be playing like playing guitar and start humming and then singing on top of what he was playing. And he really didn't want me to. He was like, no, this is my thing. But I pushed my way right in there, and then we started a band together, and I started booking us some shows around town, and that band was called Bella Sun. And when that band broke up, I didn't have any musical ability at all other than singing and writing. And so I had a guitar that my grandfather had given me when I was 15, but I never learned how to play it. So I said, you know what, I need to learn how to accompany myself, because I was still hearing voices, still hearing songs, still having, you know, song stories to tell. And so I took out that guitar and I started to teach myself some basic chords. And I'm sure, Dom, you know that the best place to start when you're learning an instrument can oftentimes be traditional folk and like a simple song like the Crawdad song, Froggy Rent a Courtin', something like that is really good to start with. So I started with a bunch of like old folk songs, teaching myself how to play, just sitting down every day for like 10 minutes or 20 minutes. And at that point, I was 23, 24 years old, I believe. And so I started pretty late, but what I started early with was singing. So I taught myself how to play, and over the course of years, you know, kept booking gigs and kept getting in front of crowds and kept falling on my face and getting up in front of people publicly, which is why I love Memphis so much, because it would be a town where you would get on stage and you would have like maybe a few fumbles, but nobody was going to kick you in the face and be like, keep your day job, which I had a lot of those day jobs. They would just be like, hey, keep at it. You'll get there. We can see, you know, we can see you trying to shine, you know, and they would just give you a lot of encouragement. So I love Memphis because it's a great birthplace for so many different genres of music, and a really, you know, as heavy of a place as it is, you'll find the most beautiful people in the world for nurturing musical gifts and art, creative gifts, you know.
Oh, well, that's wonderful there. Well, you know, I guess at this point we should have a little bit of music. Since you've spoken of your love of Tennessee, we might as well play a little clip of Tennessee Time from your most recent album that came out a few years ago, Pushing Against a Stone. So we'll get a little bit of Tennessee Time.
That sounds good.
Tennessee Time from Pushing Against a Stone by Valerie June, who I'm speaking with right now. Can you tell me a little bit about Tennessee Time?
Yeah, Tennessee Time is what I call a little bit slower. You know, it's kind of like, you know, island time, where you just kind of, you take your time getting places. And if you happen to be 10 minutes late, everybody doesn't freak out. Everybody's just on the same time, you know. You're not rushing to get through the door. And, you know, you're just kind of absorbing each moment and moving into it at a really slow and natural pace. And so I find myself on Tennessee Time no matter where I am in the world. If I'm in Europe, I'm still just kind of easing into the day and just trying not to rush myself too much with things.
Well, that's an excellent thing. We're glad you're on Tennessee Time. You did pretty good this time, though. You know, I was on Tennessee Time today, though, trying to get to the interview this time around. So from the time that your previous group ended around, you said around 2003, to the time I met you in 2010, at that time you were still doing a bit of the Carter Family stuff. I don't know if there was a full transition that went on there.
Well, the funny thing about doing Carter Family stuff is that Carter Family was actually stuff that was sung at the church that I went to, except it had no instrumentation at all. So they would have sang Farther Along or the songs that the Carter Family sang, you know, Keep on the Sunny Side of Life at church. Things like that would have been sung through my first 18 years of life. So I knew a lot of those songs as church songs, not as Carter Family songs. So when I moved out of my parents' house and I lived in Memphis around so many amazing musicians, they, of course, were playing music just as we would have a party or whatever. And I'd be like, wait a minute. that's a song I used to sing in church, but it has guitar to it, and I'd never heard these songs with an instrument to accompany them. So when I heard, like, a Carter Family number, and they were maybe I was playing the guitar and the voices, the way that the voices are layered in the Carter Family music is the way they sounded in the church I went to. It wasn't, like, super organized, you know, how AP's voice would just kind of weave in and weave out, but it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And so I was raised on that music, minus the guitar. So whenever I heard it with the guitar, I instantly fell in love, and I was like, okay, I've got to go and find everything this group has ever done. And from there, I went and searched into more artists like Mississippi John Hurt, and it just began a search of roots music in general. And then I became fascinated by, like, how there was no color when it came to music. There was a lot of color in a lot of places in the South, but when it came to music, if it was a good song, people were jumping across fences to learn that song, you know? So I love that, and I just love how, you know, just this music that I was raised on was, you know, kind of the basis for a lot of American music, you know? So I just kept diving in and finding more and more artists that I love and appreciate that who've come before me, and they will be teachers, you know?
Oh, absolutely. That's one thing that Taj Mahal told me a long time ago. I was sitting with him in the backstage at a show, and he was telling me, he said, now, the thing you got to know is that you could be looking for the next 100 years and try to listen to everything, and then you'll find that you only scratch the surface. And that's one of the true things I found. Each time you open a door, you realize that when you thought it was the last door, it's the first door. And, you know, it's been really an amazing thing to see a new crop of younger musicians of color that are taking the folk traditions that have been passed down by the forebears. And there are a couple of generations along the way that kind of let the stuff kind of sit and languish. And it's great to be to see that there are so many people like yourself that are out there that are adapting and making the music new for a whole new crop of people. I guess one thing I can ask you about is, do you find that your audience of female listeners are really enthusiastic about what you're doing? Because I know a lot of times in folk music it tends to be a lot of men that are performing or listening. Do you find that there's a strong female audience that are coming to the shows, and what are their reactions?
Well, I think because I wrote the song "Working Woman Blues," I get a heavy female presence at my shows. And, I mean, I get young women, I get old women, I get, like, little girls who sing "Work Woman Blues." And I just, like, I'm so shocked by it. I'm so grateful for it. And I hear some of the most amazing stories from, like, this girl that I walked into, like, a restaurant in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And she said, "Are you Valerie Jean?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was working. And she started crying, and she was like, "You know, I listen to the Working Woman Blues every day when I get up and go, because I get off my job here and I go to school, and I'm paying for school myself, and I'm really, like, having a hard time, and I just need to listen to that song to get my day going." And I've had older women say to me, "Oh, I love that Working Woman Blues." So I feel like, and even when I start playing it at a show, the women's response is just amazing.
Oh, great. Well, you know, let's get a little clip of "Working Woman Blues." That was actually the second song I had on my list here, coming from "Pushing Against the Stone." Let's get a little bit of "Working Woman Blues" from Valerie June. That was "Working Woman Blues" from Valerie June. Valerie, could you speak a little bit on what got you to write the song?
Well, the song came to me when I moved to New York from Memphis. I had, like, accidentally gotten a gig at this place called Terra Blues, and the guy asked me if I could play an hour of blues music, and I lied and told him that I could. And I lied to him because I was new to New York and I needed some work. I had no money and no job or anything. So he heard me sing because a friend had invited me up on stage to sing in his club, and he loved my voice. He was like, "Can you play?" And I was like, "Yeah, I play guitar." And he said, "Well, can you play an hour?" And I was like, "Yeah, I can play an hour of blues."
Loud, you know I'm a good-looking woman. Loud, you know I'm a good-looking girl.
In Memphis, you know, I never learned any blues songs. I never really knew any blues songs. I had like one blues song under my belt, and that was the No Draws Blues. So telling the man I could play an hour of blues music was a far cry. And so I went back to my apartment. I was like, "Okay, universe, I have got to receive some blues songs." And a few days passed, and then I ended up hearing this voice singing that song, and it was like an older voice. And it was a woman's voice. And then I sat down with my guitar and I started putting music to it. And, you know, the working woman blues is something that every woman feels every once in a while, and people should just be able to relate to it in a lot of ways, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Well, most excellent. Well, Valerie, thank you again for joining us on the podcast on American Songster Radio. It's just been a great pleasure to talk with you. And we're going to keep an eye out for that new record, and also keep out for the next time we're going to be crossing paths on the road.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dom. Have a good day. I really appreciate it. American Songster.
All right. Thanks, Valerie. Well, it was a pleasure to talk with Valerie June in the interview for this show. The last time I saw Valerie was at the Sister Rosetta Tharpe tribute in New York City earlier this year. And the song I got to do was one that I heard her do, I heard really early on when I first started playing guitar, I heard Sister Rosetta Tharpe. And this song here, "The Strange Things Happening Every Day," has just a great sound to it. And then it turns out it's one of the R&B hits that Sister Rosetta Tharpe had, because she was a gospel singer mainly, but this is one of the big R&B hits that helped, jumpstart rock and roll. Chuck Berry took a lot from her, also Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and all those people took a lot from Sister Rosetta Tharpe, and specifically through this song. So I'm joined here with the WUNC's youth reporting staff, and as I have now hired them on as the youth choir for this one, "Strange Things Happening Every Day." Well, let's see if we can get a little bit of this one going on. All right, watch out, church folk. One, two.
We have heard church people say they are in this holy way, 'cause they're strange. On that last fair judgment day, when they drive them all away, there are strange things happening every day. Oh yeah, let's get every day, every day. There are strange things happening every day. Of your lying, 'cause there's strange things happening every day. Oh yeah, every day,
every day,
every day,
every day.
Oh, there are strange things happening every day,
every day,
every day,
every day,
every day.
Every day.
There are strange things I'll tell you one other thing. Well, he gave the blind man sight, and he praised him with all his might, 'cause there's strange things happening every day. Oh, that choir sing every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Well, oh, there's strange things happening every day. Every day.
Every day.
Every day. There are strange things happening every day. Let's get it all one more time across the nation. Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
There are strange things happening every day. Thank you, guys. The youth reporting staff and choir doubling up this summer over at WUNC. It's been just a great pleasure, folks, and we'll catch you next time on American Songster Radio. American Songster Radio is produced in the studios of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. Today's episode was produced by David Brower, Joe O'Connell, and me, Dom Flemons, the American Songster. There are more episodes like this one in iTunes, on Google Play, and pretty much everywhere else you can get podcasts. Please give them a listen and tell your friends. See you next time.